This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stasio. The Department of Environmental Quality has pulled the plug on solar bees. DEQ says it's removing the devices from Jordan Lake. Solar bees have been churning water at several spots on the lake in an attempt to reduce algae blooms, but a report from DEQ says there has been no improvement in water quality. The agency is reevaluating other measures that would limit runoff from the surrounding areas, but developers are pushing back. Meanwhile, Governor Pat McCrory and the legislature continue their fight in support of HB 2. State lawmakers consider changes to policies on refugee resettlement and how to spend the $2 billion bond that voters approved in March. WNC's Jorge Valencia joins me now from Raleigh with an update on this week's action in the legislature. Hello, Jorge.
Hello from the Capitol, Frank.
I want to get to the solar bee stuff because that's kind of new news in a way, but HB 2 is big news and it continues, so let's start with that. North Carolina Chamber of Commerce now has taken a position on House Bill 2. What are they saying?
Well, the reason this is news is because the NC Chamber is a big influencer in the state, and local chambers of commerce have taken positions on HB 2, mostly not supportive of it. Now the NC Chamber came out yesterday, and they have a modest proposal, if you will, is what some people think of it as, that in which they seek to reinstate people's ability to take action in state courts for wrongful discrimination termination. Now, it is the reason why, you know, I spoke to several labor lawyers about this. The reason why they call it modest is because under state law, people used to have the ability to wait up until 3 years after the offense to be able to take action in state court. Now they only have the federal recourse, which is up to 6 months. And under this, what the NC Chamber is suggesting is under that, people would have only up until 6 months to take action here in the state.
I see. And this is the provision in the law, is it not, that the governor backpedaled on? He initially signed the law in toto, then he reread and got more familiar with the law and came back later and said, oh, not that part, let's in his executive order.
Yeah, well, to be fair, yes, exactly. The governor has asked the General Assembly to repeal that section of the law. To be fair to him, he has said that he didn't have a line veto. He said that he did disagree with that, but if he vetoed that, he would have had to veto the whole law, which, as you know, he is a very strong and the most visible supporter of the law.
Right. He said that several days later. Now, some lobbyists in the General Assembly are getting pressure. This is interesting. This is a report by your colleague over there in the State House, Laura Leslie at WRAL, about pressure on lobbyists by state lawmakers over HB 2. Tell us about it.
Yeah, so RAL-TV had the scoop on this yesterday, and they are quoting 11 anonymous lobbyists. So, and if they're quoting, they say that they interviewed 11 people, then there are many, probably more people in the building that have heard about this. And what they're saying is that either leadership in the House or in the Senate or staff members who work for the leadership are telling them to tell their clients, businesses, to not publicly criticize House Bill 2. And if they do, then, you know, they might not have very much capital with the lawmakers who are in power here in the state. In particular, there is an important member in the House. His name is Representative Mike Hager. He's the Republican leader in the House. And he has proposed legislation that would cut off taxes from, among many companies, American Airlines. And American Airlines is among the companies that have been very vocal and very early on said that they opposed this law, said it was bad for their business. And so he's saying, so he has proposed basically cutting off some tax breaks that they had. And when approached about it, he says, well, it actually doesn't have anything to do with their opposition to HB 2. It's just that this particular provision in the state's tax law, which is pretty thick, caught my attention because I don't think that individual companies should get breaks by name.
Well, it's good that he's checking it that closely. You know, he also is quoted in Laura Leslie's piece here. House Majority Leader Mike Hager tweeted at a lobbyist, directly at a lobbyist, wow, this is the quote, wow, I would think from all your negative posts about HB 2 that you weren't a lobbyist and didn't have to work with the majority, unquote. Sounds like a threat.
Well, he says it's not a threat. He says it's just a fact. If you are critical of us in public, I mean, we work in relationships, and that's just not going to be very good for our relationship.
So what does the other leadership say about this? They've also been quoted in terms of their response to whether or not they are in fact bullying lobbyists and threatening them.
Senate Leader Phil Berger denies it categorically. He says he certainly hasn't done it himself. He hasn't even heard of anybody doing it.
All right. Well, listen, a lot of lawsuits now about this law, both pro and con. Give us the legal update. Where are we in the lawsuits?
We have now a total of 4 lawsuits. 2 oppose House Bill 2. That one was brought on. Those were brought on by the American ACLU of North Carolina, the Department of Justice. That one came down on Monday. And then we've got 2 that are supportive of the law from the governor and the General Assembly. What is likely to happen, according to the experts that I've talked to, is that one of the cases will take the lead, probably the Department of Justice case. And that one could be resolved more quickly than something going to trial because they're seeking a preliminary injunction to simply bar the state from enforcing this law. Now, it's likely that that would get appealed and that would go to federal appellate court in Richmond. And that court, as you know, has ruled that a transgender student from Virginia can sue his school for not allowing him to use a bathroom that aligns with his gender identity. And if it goes to appellate court, then you probably will see an appeal to the Supreme Court.
All right. And at stake, among other things, are billions of dollars in federal aid, particularly federal aid to education. The UNC Board of Governors met earlier this week to talk about the Department of Justice claim that enforcement of HB 2 violates federal law. So tell us about that reaction by the Board of Governors to HB 2.
Well, the Board of Governors and the university system president, Margaret Spellings, are caught between a rock and a hard place because they have to please the 2 biggest hands that feed them. The federal government pays billions of dollars over the years for the university system. And then at the same time, the General Assembly has authority over the Board of Governors, which in turn has authority over the university system. So they're sort of their reaction is basically very little action. They're saying that they feel that they're not – that their policies haven't changed, that there aren't any enforcement provisions under House Bill 2. And so they're continuing their course, and simply the only thing that they're doing right now is they're lawyering up and getting somebody to represent them in the case with the Department of Justice.
Now, here's UNC System President Margaret Spellings talking about the potential violation.
We have not changed any of our policies. There are no enforcement positions in House Bill 2, and that will, you know, continue to be our stance. We've not violated any provision of Title IX or Title VII as it relates to House Bill 2.
And that's UNC System President Margaret Spellings talking about DOJ's lawsuit against North Carolina. Members of the UNC Board of Governors also talked about the difficult position they're in. Here's Board of Governors Chair Louis Bissett.
There's a lot of frustration. I mean, you can imagine if you're a citizen and you have a state law and a federal law and you don't really know which one is controlling, it's very frustrating that you don't know which one to abide by.
Well, there's the chairman of the UNC Board of Governors. Several other bills introduced in this session. So that's kind of HB 2. But there is other action going on in this short session. A number of other bills, including 2 that would restrict immigration and refugee resettlement. What are they proposing, Jorge?
Okay, so the first one is coming from the Senate. It's from Senator Buck Newton. If his name rings a bell, it's because he was one of the leaders who supported House Bill 2. I'm sorry to bring it up again. It's almost inescapable right now.
Yep.
And he is also the Republican nominee for Attorney General. And what he is he's proposing is to create an enforcement mechanism for a law that was passed last year that bans what is informally known as sanctuary cities. Now, we don't have any sanctuary cities in North Carolina, but basically they want to penalize local governments who have any sort of local ordinance that is in any way friendly toward undocumented immigrants. What that would do is that it would basically take away funding, state funding from those counties or cities if they do that. And then we have separate from that, we have from the House, from a group of House Republicans, very conservative, who for a long time have been very supportive of tightening immigration laws. They are suggesting that they want to make it more difficult for local governments to bring in refugees. They say local government, they want to allow local governments to say, you know what, we don't want any refugees in our communities. And if there are any local governments that want to bring in more refugees, they want to require them to first prove that, they have the resources to do that, and also to have a public hearing first in order to allow their citizens to give input.
Any sense of how much traction either of these bills have this session?
Well, at the very least, the one that has to do with the sanctuary cities, that has support from the leadership. The Senate leader, Phil Berger, on the very beginning of session when he was talking about his agenda, he mentioned that that was something that was on his to-do list. So at the very least, that one is one that we will likely see come up.
All right. And there's also a proposal to divert some money that voters approved from that $2 billion bond referendum earlier this spring. Who's proposing that and why?
You know, the person who's proposing it is a little bit telling. It's he's very conservative. His name is Representative Chris Millis. He's from the coast, and his county, Pender County, was the only county in the state that voted against the $2 billion referendum that was approved this spring. And what he says is that he is proposing to put up to voters again to about half the money that the universities are going to get to redirect that for transportation projects, because he's saying that that will benefit more communities, including his, which, like I said, originally opposed the referendum.
All right, I tell you what, we're right up against a break. I do want to talk to you about solar bees and the fact that they're coming out of Jordan Lake. So we'll talk about that in just a moment. Jorge Valencia, Capital Reporter. You're listening to The State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Stay tuned. This is The State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stacio, still talking with Jorge Valencia from WNC about action this week in the state legislature. Lawmakers going to report on the infamous solar bees, those little things that are churning in Jordan Lake. They were supposed to improve water quality, haven't worked out. Tell us more about that, Jorge.
Well, so to back up a little bit, even though I think you did a great job summarizing it at the very top of the show, 2 years ago, lawmakers were, I should say, the state has for a long time been faced with this issue of pollution contamination in Jordan Lake. And so 2 years ago, what lawmakers decided to do is that they're going to deploy these solar-powered machines to stir water in Jordan Lake. They're called solar bees. And their thought was that if we stir the water in there, we'll be able to mitigate the effects of these excess nutrients that we have in the water. Well, you had a lot of environmental activists at the time who told them, well, that's not going to do anything because you're not controlling what's coming into the stream. And so what we have right now is that the Department of Environmental Quality is coming back with a report saying, yeah, they haven't worked.
And, of course, controlling what was going into the stream was what was at stake, because obviously regulations and new regulations that would have gone into effect would have placed tighter controls on the pollution at the source, which is a proven remedy. And they didn't want to go in that direction because, frankly, developers didn't like it.
Well, I think at the very least what we have seen in the last 2 years is that those rules that – I mean, there are rules that do limit development that would therefore limit pollution into the lake. There are rules in place, but lawmakers simply have chosen to suspend them and postpone them while we had this trial period with these solar bees.
And there wasn't much evidence. These solar bees had been used in other places, but what evidence there was suggested that they had limited effectiveness and only in much smaller bodies. So in other words, there was some evidence about the effectiveness of these, and it wasn't promising.
Right, exactly. They were in places that were in different geographic areas, usually in north, so in different type of environment that we have here, and in much smaller bodies of water. Jordan Lake is very good. I mean, just to put it in perspective, I mean, it's used for drinking water for about 250,000 people in Wake, Durham, and other surrounding areas.
Okay, so where are we now? The DEQ, because there's been some controversy over this. DEQ, at one point, there was a report among the professionals in DEQ that said, hey, these things aren't working. It worked its way up the chain, and suddenly the report got changed, and there's been a fair amount of politics around what to do with solar bees. Can you give us an update?
Yeah, there's this panel of environmental experts who advises the General Assembly on this, Environmental Management Commission, and they got a report from the Department of Environmental Quality in March that said a lot of things that we're talking about right now, and then it quickly got replaced with a different report that just simply had a lot less details about it and was was frankly was less critical ultimately, and so this panel, Environmental Management Commission, voted is expected to vote to approve to send this to the General Assembly, while at the same time we have the Department of Environmental Quality. They are planning on sending this report to lawmakers anyway. So now what they're going to have is they're going to have two dueling reports about the same issue that say thing that have information that is slightly different. And that's unusual because usually it's simply what this commission that is tasked with advising the General Assembly, the information comes from them. But now we have from two separate places same information.
And a division on that commission. The Environmental Management Commission is a board with DEQ. It's appointed by the governor and the legislature. There's division on that board about what to do. Here's commission member John Solomon.
You got to keep everything in perspective and in fact. Best practice is to treat the pollution at the source and not in the symptoms.
All right, so there we go. So now we've got these two reports going forward, one that's fairly critical, the other one that doesn't say much of anything. And at some point, you know, again, the federal government has rules about this and has money, and we could be penalized again if we're not properly cleaning up this lake and abiding by federal environmental guidelines. Are we at that point yet where we might be threatened?
Well, we're not there yet because the trial period with the Solar Bees still had another year that they're going to be tested. It's just that the leadership of the Department of Environmental Quality have realized much more quickly that they're not working. So what is possible to happen now and to, you know, to bring this back to the General Assembly, it's possible that they will take this up this summer so that they can decide what it is that they want to do about these excessive nutrients that are getting that are in Jordan Lake.
All right, Jorge, always a pleasure. Thank you so much for talking with us.
You're welcome.
Jorge Valencia, WUNC Capital Reporter.